I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 13th, 2025, a Monday. I hope your work week's off to a good start. By Wednesday, you might actually get to keep some of your money because the takers in this country are going to help themselves over the next couple days. And we'll return to that theme, but first off, we're going to talk about Danielle Smith and her trip down to Mar-a-Lago. Alberta, which is the province that Danielle Smith is the premier of, finds itself at the center of Ottawa and the rest of the country's rhetoric when it comes to countering Trump's tariffs and the mockery that Trump has made of this country because of the decisions of Justin Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh. And how will Ottawa wield Alberta as a weapon to try and hurt the Americans? Well, Ottawa intends to completely destroy the Alberta economy. 97% of our exports, our oil exports, go to the United States. And 80-odd percent of them come from Alberta. Alberta is completely dependent on the American economy to buy her oil, even if they're buying it at a discount, as Pierre Poilievre has highlighted. The fact of the matter is, the government in Ottawa has opposed any plan or any solution for a decade that would reduce our dependence as a nation on American capital to buy our oil exports. They opposed Energy East, a pipeline that might have given us a way to shift our revenues to another source besides the Americans. They opposed the expansion of Trans Mountain. They've opposed any decision that would make us less dependent on the United States. And I think this is actually a key point of our foreign policy because we are dominated by other nations. It's not just China. We are also dominated by the interests of the United States. And over the years, they've made it clear, just as the Chinese have, where the limits are. Because your nation is already on the ropes. You're in the midst of a national crisis. I've been spelling it out in the last two videos. And I think it's going to be a theme that keeps coming up because the crisis is now ongoing. So first, I'm going to give you an example of trying to walk a tightrope. The politicians in this country do not have unity of messaging. Other than to appeal to vague notions of Canada and national unity, which is something that has been utterly banned and utterly demeaned by almost all of these people, not all of them, but almost all of these people, particularly in Ottawa, over the last 10 years. We're in the midst of post-nationalism. Canada hasn't been allowed to have a core identity. All we've been able to do is celebrate the identities of others. And now, because it's politically convenient, they want to call upon that. They want to invoke it. They want to invoke nationalism because it's convenient. Now, I think it's important for everybody to remember, Ottawa is completely insulated from the consequences of their decisions. I've spelled out in previous videos how you as a citizen have absolutely no power to do anything about your legislators except vote once every 4 years and hope it works out. You don't get to vote for senators. You don't get to vote for justices. It's very expensive to mount challenges. You don't get ballot initiatives. You get nothing. You're just a pleb. You get to pay huge taxes, like I said at the beginning of the video. You get to work Monday, Tuesday, and part of Wednesday, and then you might get to keep some of your money by Wednesday afternoon. Ottawa's a taker. They're always going to be all to take. They got their fingers in everybody's pockets. They take, they give a bunch of it back to their friends in Quebec, and that's how this country's run, by a bunch of leeches, a bunch of takers in Ottawa. They can destroy Alberta at the stroke of a pen and never feel the consequences. They're already robbing the West through equalization. They're already robbing us through tax revenue. But now they're saying, hey, we'll completely kill your economy and we'll force millions of people into a state of near starvation. We will kill the dollar in the process. And as I said in a previous video, they'll shoot America in a nice meaty part of their leg at the same time as repeatedly shooting the country as a whole in all of its vital organs. So I'm going to give you this example. I'm not going to read it. You can pause and read it if you want to. But this is Danielle Smith's very careful tightrope walk messaging. She's trying to walk a tightrope. She's trying to have a balanced approach, and she's basically living in a state of unreality. We're in real trouble at this moment because all of our leaders have collectively left us prone to the machinations of the American Republic. So this, I would say, while she goes down there and she tries to talk and tries to make sure that Alberta's interests are represented, which I celebrate. I'm not saying that she shouldn't have gone there and done this. This is actually what leadership looks like. There's few other people in this country that are actually doing leadership. Danielle Smith is. This isn't an insult to her. She's trying to walk a tightrope, but I want to show you reality. Smith threatens national unity crisis over Ottawa's threat to cut off Alberta oil exports to U.S. I take massive issue with the way this headline is written. Smith is not threatening anybody. Ottawa is threatening national unity. They've been doing it for a decade, and they're doing it now. If they destroy this country's economy to prove a point to Donald Trump, you will have a national unity crisis, and it's not going to be triggered by Smith. She's going to be responding to it. We're in this position, make no mistake, not just because Trudeau and Singh have been so insulting to the incoming regime in the United States, but because they've made decisions which have turned Canada into a thrall of bigger powers. You have this guy. I have a message for Donald Trump. We're good neighbors, but if you pick a fight with Canada, there will be a price to pay. This guy doesn't have a lick of fight in his pinky finger. He's got nothing. All he does is toady up like a good lapdog to Justin Trudeau, and that's all he's ever done. And now he's trying to talk a tough rhetorical game. He really thinks you're stupid. Most of Canada, and I mean most of Canada, is already seeing through this guy, which gives me a little bit of hope. There's still his base, but I could care less. Those people are going to vote NDP until they destroy the entire country. And what are you going to do about that? We don't have the ability to fight the United States because we've deconstructed even a defensive military. Do you realize that if spontaneous riots broke out in even two major cities, so let's say there's rioting in Vancouver and Toronto and it's on a big scale, our military would have a hard time bringing order back because we've reduced the number so immensely. They're unequipped. They're poorly equipped. We don't have boats to patrol the Arctic. We are completely dependent on the United States for our national defense. We literally use proximity to the world's superpower as a means of not having to pay our fair share to defend ourselves. Not just to NATO. I'm not talking about NATO. I'm talking about Canada. I'm talking about our army. I'm talking about our individual capacity as a nation to do anything to anybody, anywhere, except do modest peacekeeping duties and training operations overseas. It's so ridiculous. These guys are talking this tough rhetoric. This is exactly the attitude that has led the incoming American administration to so threaten to crush our economy. They're doubling down on the strategy that so aggravated them in the first place. They're in a great position to teach us a painful lesson. Now, Danielle Smith is trying to be diplomatic about it. But back to this, she's telling the truth. If Ottawa were to actually try and cut off oil exports to the United States, not only would it trigger an international crisis, it would trigger a legal crisis at the very least when it comes to our trade agreements with the United States, because this would be punitive to the United States. It's over and above tariffs. It would actually hurt them. But you have to wonder if Smith would even go along with it, because the damage to Alberta would be catastrophic. And Ottawa doesn't have to suffer any of the consequences of that damage because they can just sit there and keep taking. They produce nothing. They produce government. They produce public sector. They produce state. And they do it by robbing you. The social contract in this country is completely broken. And look at this international headline. Top radical leftist Canadian lawmaker threatens Trump. We're ready to fight like hell. With what, JAG? You can't even fight Trudeau. You guys, so pathetic. Like, I actually, compared to my opinion of Jagmeet Singh, there are things about Trudeau I can respect, and I can't quite say admire, but I can respect. And that's not to say I like him, and I'm not celebrating him. I'm not saying he's an accomplished man. I'm saying Singh is the worst, the bottom of the barrel. This guy needs to stay away from a camera. He needs to stop posting on social media. He needs to stop getting in front of the press because he's embarrassing us, just like Doug Ford did recently when he talked tough rhetoric, and then all of a sudden he wants to talk about AMCAN. He started kissing up. We don't have a united front in this nation. We're floundering. And one of the reasons we're floundering is because Justin Trudeau sent everybody home. He closed the government down at a moment when we need strong leadership. So all they can really do is interviews. We can't pass legislation. We can't actually have a strong session because they decided to have a leadership race in the middle of a national crisis. Trump's going to be sworn in on January 20th. We're not even going to have a proper prime minister. We're not even going to know who it is for 2 months. So at the very least, if he goes through with the 25% tariff on day one, we have 2 months of excruciating pain. We're going to watch our dollar collapse, and everybody's going to hurt because the Liberal Party decided they needed a little bit of time to pick a new leader, holding the country hostage. And you as a citizen, you who loses so much of your money to the takers in Ottawa, are powerless. I'm just going to quickly address a couple other things as related to this national crisis that I keep talking about. One that's been brought up is immigration and how if we were to join with the United States, if they were to take it over, we would just be overrun in Canada by new immigration. It doesn't hold up to scrutiny. American legal immigration, if they get their illegal immigration problem under control, American legal immigration is roughly equal every year to Canadian immigration, except they have 10 times the population. You're living in a nation that is being flooded by mass immigration on a scale that dwarfs proportionally any other Western nation on Earth. Canada is the quintessential experiment in mass immigration. And now, as I've said in other videos, we're going to experience a pivot on that, and you're going to see some deportation start happening and visas being canceled and the TFW program change and all of these other things that are going to happen, regardless of whether Ottawa can solve the American problem or whether it's the Americans that solve the Ottawa problem or whether it's the provinces who solve the Ottawa problem. Look, we have a big Ottawa problem. That is the heart of the beast. They're out of touch. They're disillusioned. They're insulated, and they don't care about you as much as they say they do. You see, the thing about a sociopath and a psychopath is they can lie as fluently as you and I tell the truth. And you need to internalize that knowledge, not just because at a government level it'll help you understand things better, but on a personal level, that anybody you meet out there in the world, there's going to be a small percentage of them. If you go out in your day and you walk around town and you pass by, you're in the city, and you're walking down the sidewalk, every 100 people, there's probably two really deep sociopathic, narcissistic, psychopathic people. And they will tell you up is down, and they will be so believable. Their body language will sing in harmony with their words, and you will be duped because you don't function that way, and lying is a problem for you, so you assume it's a problem for everybody else. Your politicians, the vast majority of them, not all, the vast majority of them, though, are of that type of character. Certain professions in this world draw people to them, draw certain individuals like flies or moths to a flame. The P word, the people who like kids too much, are often drawn to professions where there's lots of kids. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's exactly where they want to go. And when they meet like-minded souls in those professions, they network together. And that's how you get the videos. And that's how you get buyers when it comes to the kind of trafficking that they engage in. I think people got to wake up, because this problem is all around you. And it's leading us all into perdition. And speaking of problems, I want to just briefly address the Tate brothers. Specifically, the one that's running for, or pretending to run for, prime minister. Absolute human filth scumbags. Somebody asked me, are they worse than the politicians that run things? And my retort was, garbage is garbage. When you take a piece of trash and you put it in a garbage can, you no longer think about what that individual piece of trash is, because everything in a garbage can has been discarded from your life, and you probably can't even tell you probably can't even say what's in your garbage can at any given time, because it's in there and it's forgotten. Garbage is garbage. These guys are serial abusers of women, even if the human trafficking stuff is not true. There's videos out there of them slapping women around, using their belts on them. There's videos out there of these scumbags targeting people's children, saying these little kids are ugly. They're scum. They're human filth. Why are so-called Christians, who are supposed to be good people, platforming these morons? They're terrible influences on your boys. Our young men are watching these guys, looking for guidance. Why are we elevating such scumbag heroes? It's not just Hollywood. It's not just media. It's not just the music industry. It's the influence industry, too. The Tates are no heroes. I think people should be more vocal in rejecting them. And I think people need to learn how to share more. I'm always trying to retweet people. I'm always trying to look for new and better things. Like, I think we need to start amplifying better influences that tell the truth. You're not going to find happiness. The vast majority of people who are ever influenced by a Tate, who try to walk that path, are going to fall flat on their faces and not be happy. 90-odd% of you can't be them. And you're just going to end up suffering. It's a false song. They're false prophets. They're false examples. Happiness, I've learned, comes from a stable family dynamic. Comes from having children. Comes from producing more than you consume. It comes from being engaged in the deeper questions that face us as human beings. It doesn't come from the next thing that you buy. It doesn't come from the skimpy outfit you went in, that you wear and shaking your ass in front of a camera. First off, you can't take it back once it's out there. And second of all, it's just so base. Human greatness, the thing that moves us forward as a civilization, doesn't stem from casual copulation and the pursuit of it. It's such a... Society is consumed with an obsession with base biological function and base psychological function. We're talking the lowest level of consciousness. It's not that those things are wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they are not greatness. They're not what we're capable of. Every single biological creature is capable of ogling its opposite sexually. Every single creature, every single human. It's like fart humor or burping humor. I mean, we all do it. There's nothing unique or good about it. There's no pursuit of human greatness that comes out of it. Why are people platforming the Tates? Is it just because we're so addicted to spectacle, like we always have been? Is this the modern form of the Roman Colosseum? Distraction from what's really going on? As our society demographically collapses? As we're moving into a period of crisis, if we don't right the ship? As your standard of living is inevitably going to fall, especially if we end up in a trade war, everybody in Canada is going to suffer because of Ottawa's hubris. Is it just a distraction from that? What a terrible distraction. What a base distraction that doesn't accomplish anything. I don't understand it. I don't understand this obsession with the Tates or these influencers who are just heartbreaking. I feel a little bit of my soul die every time I'm forced by the algorithm to scroll past some new repulsive video. This stuff didn't make Western civilization great. Another thing I just want to discuss briefly is the California wildfires. You don't need direct energy weaponry to explain what's happening in California. The preponderance of conspiracy videos about this very thing makes me scratch my head. Now, there are some odd things, but look, empty reservoirs, empty fire hydrants, arsonists being arrested, high winds in dry conditions. Isn't that enough to explain how a fire works? What more do you need? I've seen people post pictures of metal, aluminum rims melted into pools, and they're just like, fire doesn't burn this hot. What's in a car? Plastic. Oil. Accelerants. Does fire burn at a steady pace when it has unlimited oxygen, or does it rage? How hot do those things burn compared to how hot wood burns? These aren't complicated things to understand. There's so much fakery out there in the midst of a crisis. And I don't understand the need for it. I don't understand the need to reach for the extreme when Occam's razor cuts so simply. And now it's moving into a high wind couple days. You're probably going to see more fire break out. You're probably going to see more arson. The people who have been arrested so far, you've got illegal immigrants and you have homeless. And one of the themes I've noticed in my own research is that on the one hand, we're constantly told that we have to have ever-increasing amounts of empathy for the drug addicts, for the homeless, for the thieves, for the illegal occupiers of public spaces. Some poor woman with her kid is trying to get money out of a cash machine and gets robbed, and we're supposed to have more consideration. They just need more shelters, needle exchange programs, and government-guaranteed drug safe supply. We just don't have enough empathy. There's a thing called toxic empathy. I've talked about it in previous videos. It's going to just get us all killed. It's just going to keep destroying society. It's a failed ideology, and it doesn't work. But there's something else, something deeper. When you have chosen to put yourself and your addictions above everything else, even your own health, let alone the safety and health of your family and your friends and complete strangers, when you have made that choice, when you've sacrificed everything to your addiction and your selfish desires, you have no common stake in society. Not only are you a net draw and a net negative, but as we learn in many of these times of crisis, you're also there to just take advantage like a vulture. Whether it's looters, arsonists, look at the kinds of people who engage in these activities. They're not net positives for society. If you have no stake in the common good, then you have, and you have no consideration. We talk about having empathy for these people and sympathy. They have none for you. And because they have none for you, they want to see the whole thing burn. They're filled with anger and selfishness. They're filled with narcissism. They're filled with their own addictions. And they would destroy everything around them. Well, you think giving them pamphlets and roses is going to solve the problem? It's going to make things better. Look around you, whether it's in the United States, whether it's here in Canada. Look at the failure of toxic empathy. The evidence is everywhere. As more and more people flee the cities because of violence, because of out-of-control crime, people dying on the streets. Talk about we need more Narcan, we need more availability, we need more funding for these things. So some loser, and that's what they are, chooses themselves over everybody else, decides to overdose on the street so that you, already taxed to death, as I alluded to at the beginning of this video, you get to work till Wednesday and maybe you get to keep some of your money in one form or another, get to fund Narcan to bring them back to life, and 45 minutes later, they're looking for the next hit. Why? Why? Why are we doing this? I care far more for the responsible people in society. I care far more for the people who just want to raise healthy kids, who just want to go about their business, who want to buy food without being robbed. We need to start caring about them and caring less about the selfish. Again, I've said it before, we need more stigma, not less. We need more discrimination, not less. Maybe we need treatment, but it needs to be punitive treatment. If you're going to be a scumbag living on the street, hurting people, putting yourself and your addictions above everybody else, you should be forcibly taken, shoved into a halfway house somewhere that's cheaply run, because your conditions will be better there than where they are now, and you should be forced to dry out for a period of time. That's what we need to do. We need to sweep the streets clean. You don't try to, when there's litter on the sidewalk or in the gutter, you don't try to look at it and say, oh, it's artful. You see it as ugly, and you either pick it up or you indifferently walk by it. But neither of those things are... The only thing that solves the problem is cleaning it up and then stopping people from dropping it. There's a... I'll finish on this note. We've known for a long time that it's enforcing the little things from a legal perspective reduces the instances of the big things. In New York, in the 1970s, they had this huge crime crisis. And so they went in and they're just like, how do we solve it? And one of the innovations that they came up with was they enforced the price of admission for public transit. So people were not paying. They were skipping turnstiles. They were going, you know, they were just doing whatever they wanted. And so they started enforcing the little things. And what that turned into was a cascading effect where all the big things, all the big crimes and the instances of those big crimes slowed down or stopped happening. We got to reverse course. Toxic empathy is just going to get us all. I've said it all before. It feels trite sometimes to just keep repeating myself as we watch the whole thing come down around us. And I don't think it's too late. I don't think I'm black-pilled. I think we can bring it back. But we need a severe change of strategy. We need to get tough on these people, not softer. We need less pamphlets and more punishment. That's just the way it is. I think I'm going to get back to fasting, prolonged fasting. I don't know if I'll update or report it. It's very good for your health. You should look into it if you haven't already. I need to finish my own personal mission, getting control of my own physicality and becoming as healthy as I possibly can. And I feel like this video might have been a little bit disjointed. But if you value this work and you value the time that I put into it, at some point or another, consider hitting that subscribe button on PayPal or contributing. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to carry on doing this on my own resources for several months. I'm going to reassess probably around April, May to see how things are going. I'm going to be diligent about it. But at some point, I just run out of resources. There's only so much of my own time and energy and money, and I've learned this through my various active periods, that I like doing this. I like serving the call to some kind of form of public service, but I am not independently wealthy to sustain it. Work takes time. Jobs take time. I built a farm. I know all about it. But if this is going to be the path, if this is going to be part of that future, it's up to you to figure out how to sustain it. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.